setting my recorder down. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Enforcement Advisory Committee meeting for cases P21056 and P21057. The time is now 10:08 on August 30th, 2021. My name is Orlene Loera, and I'm an investigator with the board.
It's 9:08.
Excuse me, 9:08. I'm an investigator here working with Greg on this case. We have our Assistant Attorney General with us today. If you would like to say a few words before we get started.
Sure, thank you, Arlene. I'm just going to make a few quick remarks I've been asked to make by board staff. Again, my name is Scott Donald. I am the Assistant Attorney General, acting as board counsel for the Board of Technical Registration. There's been some confusion in the past for registrants as to what actually happens in an EAC, so I just want to make sure everybody understands what this is and, more importantly, what it isn't. Today is not an adjudicatory proceeding. It's not a hearing. It's not an adversarial proceeding. Today is an investigative interview, really, more than anything else. The purpose of an EAC is for these committee members who have reviewed the entire case file to have an opportunity to ask questions to make sure they have all the relevant information. They will then be making a recommendation to the board. There will not be any decision about anybody's license made today. There will not be any discipline imposed today. There will not be any decision about whether or not anybody has violated anything. It's really a probable cause determination that then gets sent to onto the board. So just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of what this is and what this isn't. This is not a hearing at all today.
Thank you. So before we get started, I would like everybody in the room to introduce themselves. If you would like to start, Greg.
I'm Greg Raymond. I'm the investigator assigned to both cases, 056 and 057.
I'm Dan Cook. I'm an EAC member.
Thank you.
I'm David Jeffers. I wrote one of the assessments for this case.
Scott Donald, Assistant Attorney General, Board Counsel.
Mr. Anderson, if you would like to introduce yourself.
Don Anderson, professional civil engineer.
Mr. Hall.
Hi, I'm John Hall, one of the EAC members, and I just wanted to point out, in case anyone would have any confusion, in the documents for Woodson, there is a registrant by the name of John Hall that sealed some of the documents. That's not me, and that's no relation to me.
Thank you. And then we have two individuals on the line, if you guys can introduce yourselves.
Jeff Lowe, City of Prescott Public Works. And Eric Stewart, City of Prescott City Engineer.
Okay. And then over here, we have board staff. Go ahead.
Executive
Director of the agency.
Go ahead.
I'm Kevin Bradley. I filed the complaint.
Thank you.
Richard Schuler, that's an engineering.
Thank you. So a few things before we get started. First, the meeting is being recorded for board purposes. No other recordings of the executive session are allowed. Second, since we're doing this kind of like a hybrid in person and over on Google Meets, I ask that all speakers speak with clarity and a volume so that my recorder can pick up everything everybody's saying. And then if you can please state your name before you say anything, so when we go back to the recordings, I know who is speaking much easier that way. And third, if you can take this time to turn off your cell phones on vibrate or turn it off, just so there's no disruption during the meeting. All right. So this Enforcement Advisory Committee meeting is convened to review two cases, P21056 and P21057. So in regards to P21056, it is alleged that the final drainage report and addendums for the Hope Street Improvement Project in Prescott, Arizona, sealed by respondent, failed to accurately calculate flows from the channel one and B, or excuse me, A and B for a 25 to 100 year event, calls for an undersized culvert for a 25 year event, includes an inaccurate riprap analysis, does not accurately reflect the capacity of the pre-existing flow conditions, and project plans do not accurately depict the determination of channel C drainage easement. In regards to, and this is in regards to P21056, assessments performed by Mr. Jeffers and Mr. Cook, the following were identified for P21056. The drainage report fails to demonstrate an accepted engineering method for prorating the percentage of flow diverted to channel B for both the existing and proposed conditions. Two, the drainage report addenda fails to use accepted catch basin on grade calculations to demonstrate the flow diverted to channel B. Three, the drainage report and plans indicate an intention to divert significant flows to channel B. However, the drainage report was not updated to correct the increased flow rate of channel B. Four, due to not establishing the flow diverted to channel B, the design flow to channel A has not been established. Addendum two to the drainage report assumes all of the upstream flow from area three is diverted to channel B. Number five, addendum three did not include riprap analysis for channel A. However, in addendum two, there is an analysis recommending those dimensions. The plans indicate the riprap should be 10 inches long and 10 inches wide. The constructed apron does not match the plans. Six, the drainage report failed to contain analysis of how the historic flooding along Hope Street was conveyed across the downstream lots of 37, 38, and 39. There was no engineering method for the hydraulic characterization of the existing conditions. Seven, the project drainage report should accurately describe the project outfalls conditions as they relate to downstream property. And eight, there is no project construction addendum nor analysis of the drainage effect of a speed bump. The certified as-built plan should have included a notion that an important element, in this case the speed bump, was not constructed. The committee will establish the relevant facts that occurred during these cases, in this instance P21056, to determine whether any of the following alleged violations of the Board Practice Act occurred, which is respondent may have failed to apply the appropriate technical knowledge and skill in the practice of a board-regulated profession in possible violation of ARS 32-128C4 as it relates to AAC R430-3016. Now, moving on to P21057. It is alleged that respondent sealed document 115877 Hope Street responses to letter from alleger impact on parcel number 107-13-001G related to the Hope Street Improvement Project in Prescott, Arizona. Respondent erroneously stated that the absorption calculation is based on a change for 8,000 square feet when the newly paved portion of Hope Street scales out at roughly 550 times 30, which equals 16,500 square feet. Again, for P21057, assessments were performed by Mr. Jeffers and Mr. Cook. The following were identified. The original letter clearly qualifies the 8,000 square feet as improvised area. The error is 13,068 minus 8,000 over 13,068 equals 38.8% less than the value documented in the project drainage report. The respondent should have corrected the statements contained in this letter dated August 14, 2019, and contacted all recipients with the correction. And number two, there is no project construction addendum nor analysis of the drainage effect of speed of a speed bump. The certified as-built should have included a notion of an important element, in this case, the speed bump, which was not constructed. Again, this committee will establish the relevant facts that occurred during this case regarding P21057 and determine whether any of the following alleged violations have occurred, which is respondent may have failed to apply the appropriate technical knowledge and skill in a practice of a board-regulated profession and possible violation of ARS 32-128C4 as it relates to AAC R430-3016. So the committee will vote on the alleged violations and will move the findings to the board for consideration, each case separately. Any recommendations for the board will be shared with the board through an EAC report. Committee members shall be prepared to participate, having read and familiarized themselves with the facts and issues involved in this case, based upon the material provided. So at this time, I will ask the committee if they have done so and are comfortable serving on this committee. For the record, I will just call each member's name and then just signify yes or no. Mr. Hall?
Yes.
This is Mr. Cook.
I'm sorry. Mr. Cook.
Mr. Cook, yes.
Okay. Mr. Jefferson?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So much of the fact finding will occur in confidential executive session. Committee members and witnesses called during the executive session may not discuss the dialogue with from executive session with anyone outside or after the session is complete. During executive session, the committee is requested to focus its sole dialogue towards the alleged violation. The committee shall refrain from offering judgment, personal opinions, or recommendations to the alleger or respondent during the interviewing process. So interviews will be conducted starting with the alleger and then the respondents for each case. The alleger will stay here with us while everybody goes out to the lobby so we can get started. But before I do that, at this time I will call for a motion to enter into executive session. Again, please announce your name first and a second.
Orlene, if I may, that would be an executive session to discuss confidential information.
Correct.
David Jeffers, I'd like to raise a motion to enter into executive session.
Thank you.
Dan Cook, second.
Okay, thank you. So we're now in executive session to interview the alleger. So if
you'd have a vote on the motion.
Yeah, it's just a motion.
It's just the motion.
Yeah, we had a motion and a second.
We have to vote?
We have to vote.
Okay. if we can have a vote for the executive session.
David Jeffers, aye.
Dan Cook, aye.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Say, just before everybody leaves, in my documents that I wrote, I have to apologize to the respondent, Kalari. I kept referring to the respondent as Mr., and it's clearly an error, so my apologies. So I just wanted to make sure I got that.
Thank you. So if you guys would like to step out, when it's your time for the interview, we'll go get you. And then we have two individuals on the line. If you guys can hang up, and we will call you when it's time.
You need to know the number to call.
Yeah.
We have one that you provided Greg with.
Let me give you we're in the conference room.
Okay.
So our conference room phone number is 928-777-1687.
Got it.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay. They have hung up and have left the meeting.